This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06. You are with Cam and Kelvin on the evening edition. And first up, it's Pope. And we're talking about data mining. So there's this article on Vox that's looked into the data that dating apps collect. But really, we're sort of using this story to talk about the kind of data that is collected and how it's used. So there's data you explicitly offer on these apps. These apps also tend to be usually free. So you offer things like your gender, information on your location, political affiliation, religion, and the photos and videos that you upload. But there's also other ways that they can get your information.
So any sort of app can really explicitly ask you for data that they may never need. For example, the Brightest Flashlight app shared users' precise location and unique device identifier to third parties. And the question is, why would a flashlight app need location data?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we are, of course, having this discussion right after that story broke last week about how the CIA basically owned a Swiss company that sold encryption devices to other countries and had rigged and compromised those devices. So a lot of things can be tracked. It's also maybe right now more pertinent to perhaps look at that freemium model that a lot of apps offer. Freemium meaning they don't make money from the sales of their apps. Rather, they make money directly from advertising. So what happens there is they collect your data, like your age, interest, your purchasing habits. They track you on the web. They follow you around, building a sort of digital shadow of your own identity, which then they package, bundle it up, and then they sell it to the person who can pay the most money for that.
Yes, the app is not the product. We are the product.
Yay.
Find we have some value. I do anyway.
Yeah, so I think right now perhaps it's also, you know, there's a lot of ways I guess you can sort of check out. You can say no to some of these apps. You can choose not to install some of these apps that are available that maybe you might only use once or twice. But it's really also, well, if these apps provide all that license agreement, the privacy policies that they ask you to read, which on a lot of software and a lot of apps you can find, you know, Google, Facebook, Instagram makes that all available online. But what you usually find when you go through some of these agreements is that, one, they're very long. Two, they're very hard to read. Three, the terms they use also tend to be a bit vague. And I think that might actually be on purpose, right? That they are trying to dissuade you or discourage you from reading up these policies so that you don't necessarily want to have you don't get a clear understanding of what you're giving away.
And also, any given single app may find from you a handful of data points.
Yeah.
It's about the accumulation of all the different apps and all the different data points so that it is possible, conceivable, that there could be thousands upon thousands of data points on you. And you may think you're an individual who has individual choice and quirks, but the chances are that you are a type just as much as anyone else. And I'm still reeling from the 2016 Cambridge Analytica data mining, where they managed to find out people's political, not so much affiliations, but political leanings, and exploit, massage, create new, more aggressive forms of political leanings. This is specifically also in the United States and in Britain with Brexit. And that's terrifying. So it's the data points are being used to advertised to you is one thing.
Yeah.
I could ignore that. But if it is actually then being used to manipulate me into making choices which my rational mind, my sense of individualism thinks I have choices over, but I'm actually being pushed in a certain direction, that is very scary.
Yeah, and aside from political leanings, it's also the kind of products that you might be interested in. You know, if let's say you were to click on one thing, let's say you're in the market for a specific brand of cat food, right? Say for your pet cat.
Yes.
Then the next few suggestions from ads might be cat-based products, and maybe it's pushing you to just spend more and more and more because they know what you want. Whereas traditionally, if let's say you had walked into a store and it was only one person, maybe the salesperson that was in charge of following you around, making sure you're all good, that would know what specifically you would be looking for, what you wanted, and perhaps pitch some other products that they could sell you, because the incentive there for them might be that they get commission. But here, because you can, any sort of company, if they wanted their data, could just get that information, put it out, and then say, well, this is the category of people I want to reach. They happen to search the term cat food, and I'm going to push as many products that I sell as I can to these people. So then there, of course, is this then, I don't know, is this necessarily ethical? Because that information now has become a lot more available, and have we been able to negotiate and deal with that trade-off, right, for privacy and for security over convenience? Because it is seemingly that convenience is more so benefiting the side of the apps and the companies behind them.
Yeah, we trade off so much in the name of convenience. We give away so much information about ourselves and money in the name of convenience. But perhaps that crossing that ethical bridge, we probably crossed that a long time ago. There's so much information out there. Mm. I don't think we can claim it back. Apparently you can, if you, as you say, you go to the fine print, you can actually cancel and claim back. But can you be certain that it is actually coming, all of it has been erased from one place and brought back? I doubt that's the case.
So the question today is, you know, how careful are you with your personal data? Do you read the fine print on these apps and softwares that you sign up for? You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, this being PopBet, we wanted to know what the public thought about this. So we asked them if they're actually careful with their personal data. And this is what they said.
Personal data, yes, I am.
I would say yes.
50-50?
Somewhat.
I am, in terms of especially like social media.
And then we asked them what are some of the measures they take to keep their personal data secure.
I think, of course, there's a lot of software out there to help you to keep your personal data. There's, global software, local software. I think that's the key ingredient of making sure that all your data is safe and secure.
Be careful with sharing my email and, I guess, my name or birth date. I think it depends kind of where the sources are, but I think those are probably the main things that you should be careful with.
Generally, I don't use public connections for emails and banking especially.
I try not to keep anything related to finance, you know, online definitely, things like my address as well. I am definitely one of those people who are quite paranoid about these kind of things.
Constantly, I will change my password every few weeks, but like maybe minimum, at least 3 weeks is maximum. And then when it comes to browsing in the internet, especially when I know I will log into my account and everything, I'll always clear the history and everything, yeah.
Lastly, we asked if they trust companies in handling their data in a secure and ethical manner.
I don't think so. I personally went through it where I think I may have shared my personal data and then I think it was sold somewhere, and then now I receive a lot of those promotional emails where I never really signed up for, but every time I block it, it just keeps coming back. So that's when I know that, I think that was probably one of the days where I was careless with.
I would say yes, because I think there's a rules and regulation. And of course, the fine is big, I assume, so that's why I don't really have a problem with that.
Doubt is there, but then I believe they try their best. Whatever that you are working with, it's either the bank or everything, I believe they try their best, yeah.
Of course not, but you know, in terms of like the company that you work for, that to some degree, you have to trust them to handle your data in a very sensitive manner.
So you just heard some thoughts on the public on their thoughts on personal data. You can, of course, keep sending your thoughts in as well. How would you rate your own handling of your personal data? And with the apps that you use, what has it been like for you in terms of the marketing that you've seen, in terms of maybe even some of the products that's been pushed to you? You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. But in the meantime, we have on the line Feng Cheng Leong, lawyer and chairperson of the KL Bar Information Technology Committee. Cheng Leong, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Have you seen an increased level of awareness in personal data security among people?
There seems to be an increased level of awareness due to what has been happening in the media and so on and so forth. But the problem is a lot of people these days don't really read what's on the media, and issues like public security and your data, personal data, is something not being shared by most users. So you will have a lot of internet users who use the internet and social media, but is not aware of what are the real issues of using these platforms.
What do you think are the biggest mistakes being made by users when it comes to data security?
Well, one of the biggest issues, one of the biggest mistakes of Malaysians, I think, is oversharing of personal data and personal data of others. So I do a lot of online searching, especially when I try to dig out online infringers of counterfeits or people who post defamatory statements online. So what I do is I do, other than searching on the persons, but on social media and other of their websites, I also search for all their other contacts data to see what have they posted about this person. So there is a wealth of data which I can gather from the friends and connections of all these users that I find online. So yes, unfortunately, it's something we cannot control, because it's very difficult to control what other people do with your data.
Right. And when we give our data to a company, say an app, to what extent does it travel around to other companies and so on?
Well, the data can travel in all sorts of ways, because when you give it to a company, the company may say, yes, I'm going to take care of it and so on and so forth. They also say that they will give it to their holding company, their subsidiary, their related companies and so on and so forth. So from there, these third parties who have your data may not know or do not know or purposely ignore what they're supposed to do with the data. So they also will share it with their vendors, for example, their suppliers or someone provide them service. And that people will gather it and may have very lax security. And I think to me is once you share something online to any of these providers, your data is going to travel all around the world.
Are there also specific parties who can request this information? For example, the government for any purpose?
Well, the government certainly would have access to them. I mean, when they ask for it, they normally companies will do. Other than just for crime, they also go for tax evasion purposes or to determine, your financial background, so on and so forth. So even for third parties who have interest against you, for example, if for example they want to sue you for certain things, for something you post online, so they can go to these third party websites and ask for the data from these people by way of a court order. But sometimes in certain countries, they will just give the data once the letter of demand from lawyer comes in.
Is this kind of access illegal anywhere in the world?
Sharing your data to government is generally not illegal, because they make the law. They determine what is illegal or not. Whereas in respect of disclosure data to other third parties, for example, through a court order is not illegal because the court has granted it. But where there is no court order, the data holder, the person who holds the data, generally cannot disclose the data without consent of the data subject, the person, respect of the data.
Do you think people get a false sense of security from some platforms that might generally give a sense of privacy, but may not be private after all?
Well, rule of thumb is don't trust anyone online. Even though if this person says, "Bill, we will provide this the best security and we will make sure it's all encrypted and so on and so forth." Trust them in a way, but you do also would need to expect that this data may or may not be leaked in the future. And if it's going to be leaked, and what's going to happen? And if, let's say, someone hacks into it and deletes everything, where is your backup? So, unfortunately, we cannot put 100% trust in all these providers. well, it happens in hard, you know, in the real, with physical life as well. Let's, for example, I put in a warehouse, and the warehouse or even the bank, they say that this thing will be very secure in this bank or this warehouse, and there are cases where the warehouse burns down or the bank has, you know, burned down or flooded, for example. So in a way, it's, we would need to take extra precaution when we share any data to third parties, because there's a likelihood that there'll be leak or it'll be destroyed.
Do you think apps and companies are becoming more responsible? And additionally, what else can they do?
When there's a competition between companies, well, they will try to outdo each other in terms of the service. So one of the services is, of course, to ensure everything is secure. And hopefully with all this competition, they will implement that. Other than the market forces, the government also can introduce laws to specifically govern the data, the processing of data. Currently, we have the Personal Data Protection Act 2010, but the law is not very specific. So it's a very general type of law. It's like, you know, if you want to process data, you need consent, you need to disclose, then you need consent, so on and so forth. So there is no, there should be a specific one, you know, governing, for example, online e-wallets. Online e-wallets can do this and do that only. So, of course, Bank Negara, in respect of e-wallets, Bank Negara can always step in and make laws for it. But the only issue is the technology moves faster than the law, and the law has to be, the law, if you want to make, let's say, a guideline, you would go through many rounds of consultation and a lot of discussion before you actually put something in writing. So generally, the law is drafted in a very wide manner. Hopefully, the law that is going to be introduced should be forward-thinking rather than just addressing what is current position, also addresses what will happen in the future.
One big piece of advice for protecting personal data is to read the fine print. Do you think many people actually do this?
Well, reading the fine print is something that most people don't do, unfortunately, because one is normally inserted into the another website or another page. So let's say you're using an app. The experience in using the app will be disrupted if I have to go and click on the terms and conditions before I get to access the app. So most people just don't care. And I just want to quickly go and read it. So I don't care. I don't want to read it. I just want to use it. So the other way is to, of course, there are best practices. Is, for example, instead, other than in the privacy statement elsewhere, you also put in the summary of what you're going to do with the you know, personal data. So people who go through the app will say, I know these are the key 5 points you will do with the app. So these are our best practices, but not mandatory for a lot of companies. So generally, most people don't do that.
And what else can people do so that their data doesn't end up getting used in an unexpected manner?
Well, that is very difficult to control. My only way is not to overshare. Even though these days it's very difficult to control. People tend to misuse pictures. Whatever pictures you even post online, they will misuse it. You think that, you know, a family picture would not cause any harm to you, but you end up getting problem of because of that handphone, IC number, so on and so forth. So it becomes really unexpected these days. Even if you limit the sharing, or unless you completely cut off yourself from internet, then yes, maybe you'll get no problem. But if you're going to use the internet, you have to share your data regardless. If you want to get services, you will just need to bear with the risk if anything happens.
Cheng Leong, thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was Fong Cheng Leong, lawyer and chairperson of the KL Bar Information Technology Committee. And I think just on Cheng Leong's last note, I think it really reflects what I'm feeling right now really reflects also what Maggie just sent in, which says that I feel I'm fighting a losing battle.
Yes, it's a battle. I'm of an age where it's very hard for me to understand a lot of this concept of data passing around. Mm. And I mean, I'd lost the battle before I even took place, but I'm finding out a lot of younger people know how to be sensible, But also younger people also know that this is the world as it's going to be forever.
Yeah.
And I've also given up the battle. I mean, the war anyway. A few minor skirmishes along the way, but the war itself is essentially lost.
But it is also tough, right? Because this data mining, this being more digitally responsible thing, this feels something that needs more community effort. Simply because if, let's say, even if you wanted to opt out of a lot of these services, and even if you wanted to not have, say, your photograph up, maybe you don't upload your photograph, but your friend, your family members might be very inclined to post up photos of themselves, group shots, social situations that you might also be in, and your photo's already up there and that's already up for grabs, right? You know, companies will be able to store that image and eventually find some way to match it to you somehow. So that's what I mean by it being a community responsibility. It does feel as if there needs to be some amount of herd immunization here, but that's way too rosy of a picture to
it's an impossible picture.
It is impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just see myself in some cabin with no electricity, kind of swatting mosquitoes and being completely offline and off the grid. And that's the only way. And then, of course, why would anybody want my data?
Well, someone could be hiking up to the part of the woods that you hypothetically might be in. Take a photo
photograph and put it out there, and then I'm
compromised again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's no winning.
So again, if you have any more thoughts, we have more messages, but we'll get to them right after the 5:30 news. But please do keep them coming in. You can call 733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Share your stories about how you take care of your personal data, how you've maybe chosen to opt out with us. We'd love to hear from you. We have the 5:30 news coming up. You are listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.